Awesome worship, amen. Awesome worship, amen. I don't know about you, but I enjoy that worship, amen. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, what grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, what grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know. Jesus, 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 oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, need the healing, cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, what grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad that I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that You are with me, will be with me until the very end. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, how I learned to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, what grace, oh, what grace, oh, what grace, oh, what grace, oh, what grace to trust Him more, more, more.
praise team and our musicians. We are blessed in Southside to have the good music that we have. I thank God that you guys are here praising with us. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You know, the praise team starts church on Friday night. Guys had your praise service already at church. Wonderful being here. If you ever have the Friday night blues, just come down to Southside and sit in the pews and listen to the praise team rehearse. You will be lifted. So I thank the Lord that you all are here. And Dr. Longo, thank you so much for heading our music team out. We're discussing at prayer meeting the topic of worship. And we want to invite you out on Wednesday night to discuss worship and what it means and talk about the different dimensions of worshiping God. So come on out Friday night, 7 o'clock here at Southside. One thing that worship involves is giving, and we're going to continue on that topic for the next week. We're going to finish up next Sabbath, and I will be finished talking about giving, but we want to continue with our topic, faith and finance. By the way, I want to thank those who gave generously last Sabbath. Your offerings were a blessing to Southside. I've never seen my treasurer so happy than this week when I was in her office. She got excited, and we were able to meet our budget, and that was a blessing, Southside. I want to thank you. I would love to send you out a personal letter, but I haven't done that yet. I just want to say publicly thank you for your giving. And it just shows you when we give, when we all come together and support the work of the church. And I'm not just talking about those with money. God requires all of us to give, no matter what our income is. You know, don't feel like you don't make much money, so you may need more faith to believe that God can bless you and can trust you with what he has given you. So we thank you for your giving. I would like to just put that on the screen again on how our giving made a difference. And our local giving makes a big difference. We send quite a bit of money to our conference, and that's fine. Our tithes, our 10% that we give to our conference. And our conference, unlike other churches who pay their ministers a salary, I don't get a large salary. I'm blessed with the money I give because God takes my little salary and just blesses it. And I've seen him do that over and over again. He takes my little salary and just, he increases it. And I'm blessed. I can't complain. But the large majority of our offerings, our tithes, goes to the conference, which is located in Fresno, Clovis, right outside of Fresno. And there, the money is gathered, and it pays the salaries, my salary. It pays for the teachers at our school. We have an academy up there on Bernard. And so we pay for teachers. We pay for principals. And this is where our tithes go, to the conference. That's considered the storehouse. Amen? I don't mess with the storehouse. That's a storehouse. And we pay our principals and evangelists, our teachers and our auditors, and all those people that are hired by the Seventh-day Adventist Church are paid with our tithes money. Amen? You understand that. And then our local giving. So tithes is 10%. That's the baseline. And then the loose offering is what we put in the plate. That's just, if you want to get blessed even more, just put in another 10% for loose offering. That goes to our local budget for our church. And there's needs that we have in our church. And that's over and above our 10% tithe. This is the way our church operates. And God has blessed our church. We have schools, we have hospitals all over the world. And God has blessed the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm proud to be a member of the church, Seventh-day Adventist Church. I don't know any other. I've been a Seventh-day Adventist all my life, so I don't know what it's like to belong to another church. You see, I was born and raised Adventist. My mother was Adventist. My father was Adventist. My grandfather was Adventist. So this is all I know. I'm sorry. But that's the way we give in this church, and God has blessed this church. We're all over the world, Seventh-day Adventists. We're not just in Bakersfield, but we're all over the world. We're a worldwide church, amen? We're a worldwide church, and so we have to support the worldwide ministry of the church. It's a worldwide church. But I'm thankful that you gave last Sabbath. And it was a blessing to us. Are there any numbers we can put up there? You didn't give it to? Okay. All right. Well, we'll show you next Sabbath. We'll put up. And we want you to see what a difference your giving made. It makes a difference when you put your local giving in that envelope, just like we were stressing, and give it to our local church, because we have needs. And I know we have visitors here today, but I'm just talking about church business today. And because we do have needs. In fact, this week, our copy machine went out. The secretary called and she was panicking. Pastor, the copy machine went out. And the part hasn't gotten here. And so that was over $100 right there. We have to replace the part in the copy machine so you can have a bulletin. We don't have bulletins today. I'm trying to break it down on a local level. You see what I'm saying? Got another call. Air conditioner went out in my office and in this part of the church over here. No air conditioner. It's hot. Folk complaining. Oh, it's hot in here. You know, $400 and something. I said $400 and something. And that's where your local giving kicks in. Do you understand that? You send 10% to the conference, and your local giving takes care of all the things that we need in church. Our church building, a PG&E bill, and waste bill, and the air conditioned, nice cool air that you feel today, that costs money. Keep y'all cool. That's why we solicit local offering. We enjoy keeping you cool and happy and satisfied, but it requires money. Amen? It requires some money. So we want you to give. And we want to continue to talk about that today, our giving. So when we all chip in, everything works out much better. Last week, I introduced the first of seven principles of giving, and I want you to turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter with me. Philippians, the fourth chapter, I'm going to read verse 19. I introduced the seven biblical principles of money management, and we talked about the first three principles. You remember when I talked about how God is the owner of everything, you don't own anything. What you thought you own, you really don't own. Remember we were talking about that? You thought you owned your car, you thought you owned your house, and my this and my that. No, it's not yours. Everything belongs to God. Can I hear amen? Everything you own, you don't own anything. You don't own nothing. It's all God's. And he can take it away from you at the drop of a hat. We learned that principle last week. God is the owner. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He owns it all. He owns more than the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills that the cattle are on. Not just the cattle. He owns everything. So we learned that principle. Number two, we learned that we are just stewards. Amen? What is a steward? It's a manager. It's a manager. A steward is just a manager. That's all you are. If you're anything, it's just a manager. You are to manage the blessings that God has given you. So when you give, you're only given something that belongs to God. So I just want you to get that in your head. You know, I think if we understand that, you know, we work so hard, we get a paycheck, this is mine, this is my house, and my. No, it's all God's. And you're rich, God has given you an awesome opportunity to give his money back to him. Amen? I know money is a touchy subject. It's a touchy subject. We learn we are just stewards. We are stewards. And the third thing we went over was our purpose in life is to glorify God, not to get rich. Not to get rich. And whatever we do is to glorify God. And if God has to do that in our poverty, then I say let him do it. Whatever will glorify you. So we want to continue with those principles of money management today. And we're going to discuss, let's look at Philippians 4:19. But before we read, let's bow our head in prayer. Father God, here we are once again in your sanctuary. We're here, Lord, not to sit at ease and fall asleep and be comfortable here. First of all, we're glad to be here and say thank you for allowing us to be in your presence, in your sanctuary. It's only because of you that you woke us up. So thank you for that. And now, Lord, open up our ears. I'll try to be short. And give me the words to say, Father. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians 4:19, very familiar text. And it reads, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. He says, God shall supply. How many of your needs? All of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that, don't you, today? I believe it. And so, we're going to continue. The fourth principle is prosperity is having what you need when you need it. That's the definition of prosperity. Having what you need when you need it. Now, there's nothing wrong with prosperity. We've had some preachers give prosperity a bad name recently. But this God doesn't have a problem with being prosperous. He doesn't have a problem with being prosperous. Let's look at the word. Let's look at the word. There were several prosperous men in the Bible. Several prosperous men. God said that he would make Abraham's name great and prosperous. Abraham was a very wealthy man. Did you know that? Abraham was a very wealthy man. He was very rich in cattle. Genesis 13:2. Abraham was very rich in cattle and camels. He owned camels, which were a commodity then, And he owned, Genesis tells us, Abraham was rich in silver and gold. Abraham, wealthy. Isaac was blessed with riches. And he was blessed so much that the Philistines envied him. Genesis 26, 14. They envied Isaac because of his wealth. God doesn't have an issue with being prosperous. Job was a rich man. Job was a man of great wealth, and he was blameless and upright, one who feared God. God has no issue with prosperity. He feared God. Solomon was a rich man. He wasn't embarrassed about it either. The Bible talks about Solomon's riches, and he just lists the riches of Solomon. Bible says in 1 Kings 10:23, thus Solomon, King Solomon, excelled in all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, she says, I didn't believe all the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report which I heard. This is what Queen of Sheba came when she visited Solomon. She couldn't believe her eyes as to how wealthy he was. And the list goes on and talks about the wealth of people. Even in the New Testament, it talks about the wealth. Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man. He gave generously, and the poor, he gave generously. Wealthy women in the Bible, they helped support Jesus' ministry. Wealthy women in the Bible. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they used their wealth in the service of Christ. Matthew 27, 57. God does not have an issue with prosperity. Barnabas, these are New Testament rich people. In Acts, we're told about Barnabas, who was a true son of encouragement. He used his land investments to aid the early church. Cornelius, who gave alms liberally to the people and prayed constantly to God. Lydia, she sold the seller of purple, who used her status and resources to benefit the early church. The Apostle Paul uses the collection for the saints in Jerusalem as an opportunity to teach the spiritual benefits of cheerful giving. Paul even lists giving as one of the spiritual gifts. Do you know there's people in our church with a spiritual gift of giving? God has blessed them with prosperity, and he uses them to help the church. So don't look down upon people with money. A lot of us wouldn't have a job if there weren't people with money. God places people. God has blessed Southside with people in our church who make a good living. Praise the Lord for that. Some of y'all can sing. That's your talent. Some of you can teach. Some of you are good mothers. Some of us have money. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we see that it's clear that in the New Testament, it talks about money. And how we should use money. And that's the whole thing with stewardship, is teaching us how we need to use money. How we are to give money. How we're to give money. Money is an effective way of showing our love to God, because money is tied into our emotions. It's part of us. You can't give a dollar. You can't give money without giving of yourself. you know, we sing that song, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. But we must flesh out that consecration. How do you flesh out that consecration? Well, the next line of the verse says, take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. We consecrate ourselves by consecrating our money. Dr. Carl Menninger once asked a wealthy patient, what on earth are you going to do with all that money? And the patient replied, just worry about it, I suppose. Then Dr. Menninger went on, well, do you get that much pleasure out of worrying about it? Patient said, no, responded the patient, but I get such terror when I think of giving some of it to somebody. Now, this terror is real. When we let go of money, we are letting go of part of ourselves and part of our security. And that's what Jesus talks about in Luke. He says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, when we release money, every time we give money, we're releasing a little more of our egocentric selves and a little more of our false security. Giving frees us from the tyranny of money. And not only giving money, you remember in Acts the fourth chapter, the people who didn't have money gave things. They gave things that money bought. You know, they gave their houses and they gave food. That's the spirit of the New Testament in the book of Acts. You ever considered selling a car or one of your coin collections to help finance someone's education? Money has also given us the time and leisure to acquire skills. What about giving those skills away? Doctors, dentists, lawyers, computer experts, and many others can give their skills for the good of the community. Giving frees us to care. It frees us to care. So, prosperity, going back to our principles, prosperity is having what you need when you need it. The fifth principle is debt. You know, I have a lot to say about debt because I've been in debt before. I still am in debt. And I don't like it. I don't like being in debt. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is the slave of the lender. And some of us thought slavery ended in 1865. Get out of debt as quick as you can. Get rid of the credit cards. You know, there was a time, and I'm rolling back in time now, when I don't remember seeing my parents with any credit cards. Especially my grandfather. He never had a credit card. He always dealt with cash. Never had a credit card. How did he make it without a credit card, without credit? When did credit start coming in? This credit is just eating this country alive. And that's what happened with this housing industry. People didn't have the money to really afford houses. The bankers got involved and said, hey, just here, we'll give you the loan. People were buying houses, didn't have no money down, buying houses. And so get rid of the credit. Students, don't be lured into getting credit cards when you go to college. Don't let them lure you into getting credit cards. It's a trap. It's a trap. Get rid of those credit cards. Some things you just can't help. When you purchase a house, I understand that. You know, nobody has $400,000 or $500,000 to pay cash for a home. So there's sometimes when you need to finance things. Sometimes when it was necessary to get a student loan. I can understand that. Get a low interest student loan. You know, try to buy your cars cash. I'm preaching to myself now. Try to buy your cars cash. Make do with a used car. You ain't got to have a new car every year.
Amen.
Get a nice used car. That's what I drive. I polish it, polish the wheels, make it look nice. It's a used car. No, no.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Paying them $400 or $500 car notes, and you think you're paying $20,000 for the car, but when you end up paying for the car, it's $40,000 that you pay for the car. That's not good stewardship. That's not good money management. And speaking of money management, we're trying here at Southside to get out of debt. I told you last Sabbath, we need to get out of debt. And we're figuring out ways now. We met with the finance committee last week. We're trying to figure out how we can get out of debt. We have school debts. We have conference debts. I don't like that. I don't like that. And so by God's grace and through your commitments and your giving, we're going to get this church out of debt. Amen. We can't talk about refurbishing the church and getting carpet and getting pews and all this stuff. How are we going to do that when we're in debt already? We can't, you know, and I was caught up in that. We wanted to get pews. We wanted to redo the church. But, you know, we got this mounting debt that we have to pay for. We want to be good stewards of God's money. Amen. First things first, let's do without some things and take care of the things that God has blessed us with.
Amen.
Shampoo this carpet that we have, amen? Get some paint out, paint these walls ourselves. Take care of the things that we have. We don't need anything else. Let's come together and pay our debts. Get out of that debt crisis. It's not good. You know, many of us, we get in debt and then we're not faithful with paying our bills and we let the debt go. It goes to the credit people and you get these calls from this credit. How many of you got these calls? You got these calls from these credit people all the time, credit people. Because, you know, you made a mistake, you slipped over into that credit card thing. And then all of a sudden maybe you lost your job or something and things happen, but it's better not even to get a credit card. Those things are dangerous. You got to know what you're doing. So debt is bad. Pay off those credit cards. Don't be a slave to your credit cards. Amen? Number six, the tithe is the minimal testimony as a Christian. Put God first. The tithe is just the minimal. An honest tithe. Be honest with your tithe. God will bless you. Be honest with your tithes. And God will bless you. Even with the small things. This week, I collect cans and bottles, you know.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know. I just saw my father doing it, and so I'm doing it now. Daddy used to collect bottles and cans and stuff like that. I used to be embarrassed in a way. Daddy, why are you collecting them cans? You know. But now I'm doing it. And I'm not ashamed about it. You put a bottle next to me and see, don't I take it home and put it in my, I sure will. Ain't nothing wrong with $1.80 a pound, okay? Don't put your water bottle down near me. I'll snatch it. I might pour your water out and crumble it up and snatch it. My wife was laughing at me. I went and turned my bottles in this week. I have a little place up there on Niles that I go to. And I got $9.35. Nah, laugh about that. Got $9.35. I sure did. And I do this once a month. Once a month. And $9.35. Okay, so what's my tithe? $9.30. How much is my tithe? 90 cents. 90 cents. That's 10%. All you math people. I paid my tithes today on my little bottle money. Amen. I was faithful. And I put in a few more cents for the local offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good stewardship. You better pick up some bottles. So God's been good. Good stewardship. Be faithful with your tithes. Be faithful with your tithes. That's the minimal amount. Some of the blessings we don't even see. Your blessings may not come back in money all the time. Somebody look for a check in the mail. Your blessings may be that God might decide that this car may not turn the corner in time and run head on into you. You know, we don't see the blessings God has for us all the time. They don't come in a check in the mail all the time. I mean, he'll allow you not to get a tumor on your head, in your brain. Blessings come to us all the time that we can't even see. The Bible says, I will rebuke the devourer. I will keep things from happening to you. You don't even know about. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer thee. And what else does it say? Show you what? That what? You don't even know. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God I serve. He'll show you things you don't even know. He'll bless you in ways you don't even know. But then you hold it back on 10%. Come on now. 10%? And then check this out. He's offering you salvation. Do you understand what eternal life is? Do you know what? See, we can't even conceive that in our minds. Our minds are so messed up and so sinful and so shriveled up. We don't even understand what eternal life is. Do you know eternal life in heaven means living forever in perfect health? Just think about that for me. That brings me peace of mind right now. Living forever and ever and ever in perfect health. You get to enjoy perfect food and perfect water and I mean, it's just amazing. Eyes have not seen, nor have ears heard the things that God has prepared for his children. He's got something for you up there. And you fighting with 10% offering. You can't even give 10%. Trying to bless you. He's trying to bless you. He owns it anyway. Give an honest time. Giving is so important to God. Giving. Be grateful. We have to learn how not to hold on to these things so tightly. I'm going to wrap it up in just a few minutes. The last one we want to cover is that we have to all give an account when the judgment comes. When the judgment comes. We're going to have to be responsible. You know, if you look at our lives, our earning, if you look at a lifetime of earning, some of us may earn $4 or $5 million in a lifetime. Well, God's going to ask us one day, were you faithful? What did you do with all that money? What did you do with your $1 million? What did you do? Did you use it wisely? Did you use it wisely? We're going to have to be accountable to God for that. Accountable for it. So, I want you to think seriously about not only stewardship, but about giving. and not being so tied into that. See, that's why the Bible says money is a god, can be a god to you, and it fights against God. It's a rival against the real God if you let it. So we have to get control of money. We have to get control of that thing and learn how to use it wisely. We have to get control of money, or it can get you. It can grab you. You know, that money thing is real dangerous. When we learn how to control our money and teach our children. You know, our children pick up the things that the way we act at home. They pick it up. You know, they're asking, should I fear money? Should I love money? You know, should I respect money? Should I hate money? Should I use money? Should I borrow money? Should I budget money? Should I sacrifice everything for money? Albert Schweitzer once observed, there are only three ways to teach a child. The first is by example. The second is by example. And the third is by example.
Amen.
You know, if we're free from the love of money, our children will know it. And I worrying about money, when kids hear this growing up, how you're worrying about paying the bills and they're worrying about money, you're teaching them to worry about it. They get it. They get it, and they'll grow up with that fear of not having money. That's the dark side of money. And so may God bless us as we learn and trust. I have so much to talk. You know, the Bible talks about money more than any other topic. It talks about money more than sex, more than the Sabbath. Money's all through the Bible. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to end it next Sabbath as we look at how to be the simplicity, how to live the vow of simplicity. I want to go over that. I have so much to talk about with this topic. And money as this unrighteous mammon, how Jesus talks about money in the Bible, how it's a competitive nature with himself. And so we're going to go over that next Sabbath and discuss the vow of simplicity. How to live on less. How to have money when it's time to give money. How to get rid of our debts. They have debt consolidation companies now that I understand are pretty good. You know, that teach you how to get out of debt. And this credit thing is just an evilness that is just, we've gotten into a trap. How to get out of debt. So may God bless us as we struggle with this. I know for some it's been a challenge, but part of this journey and the reason why we're calling this faith in finance is because it's going to require faith to be able to give. You know, you're not going to see your way out all the time. It's not going to make sense to you all the time to give. And knowing that you may not have enough to make it. It's going to take a leap of faith. But I tell you, on a personal note, I've seen cars start again that were supposed to be broke. I've seen refrigerators turn back on again. You know, I'm talking about the blessings of giving and the faithfulness of God to make something happen out of nowhere. I know what faithful giving, I know what the blessings of God is for being faithful to you. Some of us have sacrificed our kids in school, faithful to the end, and God has blessed you. God has blessed you. Your kids are a blessing to society for your faithfulness and your sacrifices. Now, your children are a blessing to society now because of your faithfulness. The sacrifices that you made. So may God bless us as we examine this theme, faith and finance. We'll be preaching on it next Sabbath once again. And I want to thank you again for your giving. Let's be faithful to our church. Let's give, cheerfully give. Now, it won't do you any good if you're not giving cheerfully. The Bible says, and that's where we need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, teach us how to give cheerfully. Not to give to control. Okay? Some of us give, but we want to give and control. That's my money. I gave that. You know, let me do what I want to do with it. Give. Sometimes we have to give and just toss it to the wind. You know, there's several types of giving. A couple of types. Well, one type of giving is honest giving and calculated giving. We don't give, we get our tax return back, and we keep track of it, and that's good. The other type of giving is just giving sometimes without keeping track. You're just giving to somebody who needs the money without question. We should just give like that. Somebody needs money, okay, here. You're not asking them, what you going to do with it? Can I get a receipt? What you going to, you know, it's just giving. Just give. Give to them. They need it, give it. Some of us are so, we're so technical. We want a receipt for this. We want a receipt for that. Because we're thinking of ourselves, getting money back for ourselves. Sometimes God just wants us to just throw it to the wind. Just give. That keeps the spirit going in us. It keeps us not being tied to that mammon, that God mammon thing. Amen. It relieves us from that. It helps us to control money. Control from money having a control over us is when we give liberally and when we give cheerfully and when we give freely by God's grace. So why don't you pray with me now? Bow your head. Father God, as we end this service, I want to thank you for your word that's clear to us. That giving is a part of worship. It's important. Lord, you want us to be good stewards. Help us to be able to manage our lives, Lord, to manage our monies, how to manage money without letting it get control of us. But Lord, first, may we not neglect your portion, the first fruits that you require. We know that it all belongs to you anyway. Everything is yours. The earth is yours, and the stars and the moon and the sky, and everything belongs to you, Father. We recognize that. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be managers, to be stewards. We want to be good stewards, Lord. We want to take care of the things that you blessed us with. We don't want to become hoarders. Help us, Lord. Help us to be cheerful givers. Help us with our finances, Lord. Help us not to get tied down in or in debt. Some of us are in debt right now. We worry about money. We worry about bills, Lord. Lord, we want to turn it over to you today to help us manage what you have blessed us with. Help us to be diligent and live on less, Lord, and give more to your cause, Father. Help us to give so we can have treasures in heaven, not on the earth. Help us to use our money to invest in people, not in things that belong to us. And then we will lay up treasures in heaven instead of on this earth, Lord, where moth and dust will grow on. We thank you, Lord, for this message. Continue to bless Southside, Lord, as we look to pay off our debts. We want to be a faithful church. We want to be a church that can literally stand up and teach good stewardship without having the debt that we owe. Help us take responsibility as members. Help us to take it personally. This is our church. And God, help us to that end. We pray. And Lord, for those who are out of work, provide for them, Lord. Find a job for them. Some of us are looking for jobs, Lord. Open up a door, Father. Find the work for them, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Some of us have been laid off of our jobs, Lord. Provide for us, Father. Teach us the lessons that you want us to know through our poverty and through our needs and our wants and our job loss. Teach us the lessons that you desire for us to know. Help us to truly believe that you will supply us with all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Is our prayer in the strong name of Jesus, the one, that name that supplies us with every need that we ever could want, the one who was the best steward in the world, who came down to this earth and sacrificed his life. Oh, we thank you for being a good steward, Jesus. You didn't think about yourself, but you thought about us. Came down and gave up glory. You gave up heaven and for us. Thank you for being a good steward for us and for offering us eternal life, which we cannot compare to this earth. Thank you for offering us eternal life, Lord. Now help us to be faithful in our giving. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.